Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my little brother's toolbox is an old book published in 1942. It's titled The Machinist's Handbook and is considered to be the Bible of the metalworking industry. What is this book? It's a handbook and dictionary of shop terms and contains information on subjects like gearing and threadening, fasteners and formulas, properties of metals, all things over my head and expertise. And the book is currently in its 42nd edition. When my brother was given our great-grandfather's old copy, he was honored and thrilled about it. And as he looked through that old book that my grandfather used every day for his working career, he was amazed at how much of it was still relevant and useful today. Some things, regardless of the time it was written or created in, are still timeless, and they can faithfully depict how our world still works today. Our gospel text this morning is a lot like that 1942 edition. Luke 10 has some specific instruction that applies directly to the 72, but it's still relevant and applicable to us today. Luke 10 shows us how God still works in our world just like He did back then. For we have a God who sends people to proclaim His peace and His reign. Simply put, our God is a God who sends. It begins with Him and His initiative. In the Bible, God loves to send people and prophets in His name and in His authority. And it's as if Christ Himself is speaking and acting. That's why we hear in verse 16, Jesus says, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." And with this in mind, Luke records in verse 1, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place that he was going to go." Jesus sends these people into the harvest field to work for him and to speak for him. He sends them out as lambs among wolves. He sends them to proclaim his peace. He sends them to heal the sick and to proclaim the kingdom. He sends them with the foreknowledge that not everyone is going to welcome them. Jesus sends these 72 people out. But God's sending, though, isn't limited to just here. Our God is a God who sends. God sends people all throughout the Bible and still does so to this day. In the Old Testament, God sent Abraham and Joseph. He sent Moses and Aaron, Elijah and Elisha. He sent Isaiah and Jeremiah. He sent Ezekiel. He sent Jonah, everyone's favorite runaway prophet. In the New Testament, he sent the 12 and the 72 and John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle. Our God sends. And today, he sends pastors and missionaries to proclaim his kingdom and peace. And God has sent his son, Jesus, his greatest prophet. In Luke 4, he describes his ministry with these words. He says, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus wasn't just sent to proclaim liberty, he was sent to win liberty. He was sent to be the Savior of the world, the sacrifice for sins. He was sent to save us. And all of this foreshadows and points ahead to the sending of the church to all nations, to the ends of the world, which Jesus does at the end of Luke. He sends you and me. The other day, I heard the story of a young girl named Abby who was concerned about her friend. She didn't know if she was a believer or even if she had been baptized. And this really bothered Abby. And so she talked to her dad about this problem. And after talking, they came up with a solution. They determined someone could invite her friend to church. And so her father said, "Abby, do you know someone who is her friend?" And she said, "Well, Dad, I am." He then said, well, do you know someone who knows their catechism and their Bible well? And she said, well, Dad, I guess I do. I know it decently. And then he said, well, do you know a friend of hers who could invite her to church and tell her about Jesus? And she said, I do, Dad. Me. And so he said, maybe, Abby, it seems that God is using you to reach your friend. Who has God sent you to in your life? Who is he using you for? Is it a friend? A neighbor? A coworker? That person who lives down the hall in the apartment building? Who is God using you for? We have a God who sends. But God doesn't send us without a message. He doesn't send us without a mission. Sometimes in life, we just don't know what to say, right? It happens to all of us. I remember in my first semester in college that one of my best friends growing up, Jeff, had given me a call out of the blue. And he surprised me by saying, Nick, my brother just passed away. And I remember just not knowing what to say. And the only thing I could say was, I'm sorry. And we sat in silence. Sometimes in life, the words escape us. It can happen in a conversation. It can happen at a job interview, or maybe when you're giving a toast. It can happen when bad news breaks and bombs upon us, whether it's a health crisis or death. Sometimes we can search and struggle for the words of what we want to say. But God doesn't leave us hanging. He gives us guidance and direction. He helps us to speak. He gives us a message to proclaim. We don't have to figure it out. He gives us a summary of the gospel to share. Peace. When Jesus sends the 72 out, Jesus says, whenever house you enter, first say, peace be to this home. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. In the ancient world, peace was a greeting or a casual wish. But when uttered from the Lord, when uttered from the mouth of a believer, it's not just a greeting, but a blessing. It's not just a casual wish, but a reality. It's something more. God's peace is unique and special and comes only from him. It's a reconciliation with him, won and given by Christ's death and resurrection. This peace means one is good and right with God. He's not mad or angry with us. It means he holds nothing against you and will treat you as such. And this peace, as we sang earlier, sustains through all earthly troubles. Financial problems can't undo it. Health issues cannot steal it away. Stress, worry, and tension might try to do their thing, but they can't rob us of this peace we have in Christ. His peace is unlike any others. And it's a peace that he loves to give. God gives this peace through our baptism, through those waters that daily renew and restore us. God gives this peace through the word that pronounces it and pastors that announce it. God gives this peace through his supper, where we eat the body and blood of the risen one who won us this peace. Our God gives us peace and gives us freely. He has us proclaim this peace. And he also sends his people to proclaim his kingdom along with that peace. Twice in our text, Jesus talks about proclaiming his kingdom. He tells them, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know the kingdom of God has come near. When you think of a state or a kingdom or country, what often first comes to mind? Let's use Alaska as an example. If someone were to tell you, I'm going to Alaska, what comes to mind? Is it long rolling plains and forests covered in snow? Do you picture tall, towering gray mountains or crystal clear water with salmon jumping in it? Do you envision grizzly bears and wolves and frigid temperatures that you would never wish even on your worst enemy? Do you think of igloos and harbors with fishing boats and crooked piers? When we think of states or kingdoms or countries, we often think of their geography or their boundaries or physical description. This is what often comes to mind. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about a physical location or a confined geographical location. He talks about something different. The kingdom of God is where he rules and reigns in the heart of a believer. This kingdom comes because of his peace. It's where people are ruled by God through faith in Christ. This kingdom is at hand, and we enjoy the blessings of this reign right now. We live our lives under God's grace, his care, as we confessed earlier, and his love given to us because of Christ. This isn't a future kingdom that we need to wait for, or a journey that we have to go on. It's not far off, but it's near and here. It's a kingdom we're part of now because of Christ's death and resurrection. He paid for your membership into this kingdom with his perfect life, his perfect death, and his precious blood. Our names are written in heaven, and nothing can strip out that page. Nothing can erase your name or cross it out. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. He sends people to proclaim this. There are some things in life that are just timeless and that last from age to age regardless of when it is made. And we see how God works in Luke 10 is just one of those. God is a God who sends people to proclaim his peace and his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.